You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.
Good evening, folks. Welcome to Circle of White Light Radio with myself, Alan James. It's the 26th of November, 2023. Good evening. Hello to everybody logging into the chat room there. I hope you're all doing well. Well, here we are, another show, one show away from the annual review, which I'll be talking about later. Now, on the show tonight, obviously I'm going to have a pre-record of a show I did on Rumble with a lady called Yvonne Skelly. So when you hear the introduction of the interview and it says, oh, it's great to see you on video, it's because we actually did that on Rumble and I'm just doing a replay because it was a very poignant video. An interview that I did with Yvonne, and a lot of people commented on it and thought it was very appropriate for the times and everything that we're going through. So I said, you know what, I'm going to get that and I'm going to play it. So it's an MP3 version, because I know there's people that don't go over to my Rumble channel and watch videos, but they like the MP3. So I'm doing the MP3 version of it now. And after I finish the interview with Yvonne, when the pre-record is over, I'll be getting the lovely Lisa from Cry Freedom Radio on, and we're going to have a chat about everything that's going on, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the world at the moment, folks, and I'm sure you're all feeling it. Loads of people talking about it, loads of things going on, and so we're going to get into that, and we're going to talk about that after the interview with Yvonne. But before we do anything else, or before I talk about anything else, let's find out what the communication channels are.
The communication channels are email, contact us at circleofwhitelight.com, by phone 046-927-1212, or sign up to our newsletter via our website at circleofwhitelight.com.
So there you go, folks. You know the website is circleofwhitelight.com and the email is contactus@circleofwhitelight.com. And obviously you go off to the website and you click on the subscription, type in your email address and subscribe. You'll be kept up to date of any changes. I'm on Facebook as well. Go off to Facebook, like, share, subscribe and all that kind of stuff. The more people know, the better. And obviously, Rumble now is where everything's happening at the moment. So if you go off to rumble.com and type in Circle of White Light or Radio, you'll find me there and all the videos that I've done. And there's been a lot of videos that we've put up there and a lot of subjects that we've covered. Very interesting subjects that you'll probably find interesting. And I do have an interview coming up this week with David Alderman. Now, David Alderman, I've interviewed on the Sunday show, but this is the first time I'm going to be doing a video interview with David, and we're actually going to be talking about the scam of the energy companies and the power companies and what's going on there, because the electricity bills have been through the bloody roof for everybody. I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of money they're charging. And when you hear about the profits they're making and the fact that they're state-owned, we own them. The taxpayer, we own them, and yet they're making loads of profits and they're not putting it back into the system. It's disgraceful. So that interview is going to happen during the week. It's going to be, again, a video interview. So when it's done, I'll put it up in Rumble. But if you haven't been over in Rumble, check it out, folks, because you're missing a lot of stuff there. And obviously, if you want to get T-shirts or sweatshirts or caps or anything like that, you can click on the Redbubble page on the Circle of White Light website. And that will bring you over to the page and you can buy all that kind of stuff to support Circle of White Light as well. Now, just a couple of things we're going to talk about. Oh, by the way, the phone line's not available because there's going to be a couple of changes, which I'll talk about in a minute. But obviously, I'm going to have to give a mention to the riots that happened and the looting that happened during the week in Dublin. My understanding is that was supposed to be a protest, but this went south very quickly and rioting and looting ensued. I didn't watch the news, so I can't give you any details except to say that Ireland is becoming a cesspit. If it wasn't already, which we know it was, it's actually getting worse. Thanks to that bunch of WEF lackeys in the Dáil not a backbone between any of them. And I'd like also just to add to this, one of the things I said when I seen this happening during the week was that this is an excuse for them to bring in more laws, more restrictions to take our freedoms away. It's anything like this is always, oh, listen, we need to have a look at the laws. And it just so happens something came up on my Facebook feed today and it said, it has been announced on RTE that the government are going to bring in facial recognition laws after the problems we had during the week with the rioting and the looting. Surprise, surprise. Problem, reaction, solution. How can we get facial recognition into the laws? Hey, let's have a big protest and get some people to go in and cause trouble. And then people will say, what are you going to do about it? And they'll say, oh, we have the solution here. We'll bring in facial recognition. That's what we'll do. I mean, it's so predictable, folks. It really is so predictable as to their game plan and what they do. Honest to God, I don't have one ounce of interest or sympathy or support for them parasites in our government. Right? I really, really don't have any time for these people, you know? And the politicians, they're all just part of the system. I always say there's two people involved in politics, right? And they come knocking on the door for the vote. There's two people. You've got the naive, ignorant person who thinks, oh, I'll stand for election and I'll go in and I'll make a change. No, you won't. You never will. It's institutionalized. It's controlled. It has a party whip system. And if you try and change things like George Lee tried, you'll get chucked out. End of. The second person knows that it's all a set up, a scam, but he goes, you know what? I want to get in and I'll get a nice pension. I'll just work for 4 or 5 days. Oh, sorry, not 4 or 5 days. I'll just work for 4 or 5 years and then I leave. I'll get an early pension, happy days, kick the ball down the road. I'm okay, Jack, sod everybody else, right? That's exactly the way I see politics. That's the way I see the two types of people involved in politics. Now, I could be wrong. I'm just giving my opinion on what I feel from a psychological point of view. So, because you won't change your system. And again, I'll talk to Lisa later on after the pre-record with Yvonne. But I think we need to have a celestial change. Something on a planetary level or something outside has to shift the planet because I cannot see humanity doing it. I'm sorry, folks. I just cannot see humanity doing it. You know, now if I'd like to be proven wrong, and if I'm wrong, I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to turn around on the show and go, yeah, I was wrong, put my hand in the air. But I, looking at the psychology of humanity and what's going on, I do not see it. Now I know there are good people out there. There's a few good people out there doing good things, and that's great. But unless that changes and it flips and you have like the majority of people doing good stuff, it's not going to happen. In my opinion, right? My humble opinion. Okay. So, so my week, there are changes afoot at the moment. Okay. So over the Christmas period, I'll be turning the studio back into a proper room because I kind of hijacked one of the bedrooms. We'll aim to have a very cut down version of the studio in another room, but it will be set up as a one man operation as we have Zoom and Skype these days. So all interviews can be done really now using this technology. So the last scheduled monthly show is planned for Sunday, the 31st of December, New Year's Eve, which will be the annual review show. After that, the shows will be done on an ad hoc basis on Sunday. You know, just check out the schedule on the website, basically. Now, because it's New Year's Eve, I might change the time of the show. Instead of from 7 to 9, I might change it from 10 to 12 to bring in the new year. If you think that's a good idea on the chat room, let me know. Just so, you know, we can have a bit of music and a bit of a chat. And then, you know, even if people want to Skype in and say hello, you can do because the phone line is down. That doesn't work anymore. So we don't have that phone line. So if you're not doing anything on New Year's, tune in and join in the chat room and have a chat. And I believe Lisa said, if she's on the chat, I think Lisa said that she'll be joining me on the annual review show, and that's on New Year's. I don't know whether she's going to be out or going to be busy, but we'll have a chat later and I'll check later. Now, talking about the chat room, I've already moved the current website over to my new hosting. So Circle of White Light has been moved over to the new hosting. However, I forgot to move the chat room. So the people who are on the chat room at the moment, you're on the old chat room, but there is a new chat room. And when, after tonight now, I'll be shutting down the old chat room and it'll look exactly the same. You won't know any different. When you log in, it'll look exactly the same. So I'll be closing down the old chat room and the new chat room will come up. I can see the new chat room at the moment, cause I have two computers looking at them. Just in case somebody logs into the new chat room. So that's going to be happening. And so that should be up and running and working by the next show, the New Year's. I'll make sure that it's up and running. Now, I'm also planning on updating the Circle of White Light website in the new year. Not up to the new year, but in the new year. Because I have to, you know, I want to reflect all the Rumble videos that I've done. And I have done on Rumble. I want to put them up and have them on the site as well. And I'm going to be getting rid of old furniture and maybe some old technology along the way as well. And I want to declutter and just get rid of things I'm not going to be using or taking, you know, they're taking up space. So it's one of these kind of declutter Christmas time decluttering for the new year coming in. Maybe that's a good sign, or maybe it is a sign. Maybe there's something in it about decluttering, getting rid of old stuff and all that, you know. Anyway, so I'm going to bring in my guest, which is a pre-record, as I said, with a lady called Yvonne Scully. Yvonne, a Dublin native, can be described as an intuitive healer and a visionary leader and wellness and entrepreneur. She founded Empower Health in 2014, a company that initially created NACE Holistic Centre and then expanded with Lakeshore Wellness Centre and the Salt Cave NACE. Empower Health embodies a conscious business philosophy of co-creation, collaboration and community, bringing together many Irish holistic therapists and internationally acclaimed therapists who offer their unique therapies and workshops, both in person and online. With over 20 years experience in facilitating private healing sessions, ceremonial workshops, meditations and holistic healing courses in Ireland, UK and Europe, Yvonne helps people to overcome life challenges by removing the barriers within to access their inner strength and divine expression to create a more empowered, joyful life. Yvonne aims to inspire others to realize their true potential by leading by example to their own authentic life expression and healing journey. Yvonne is also a former TV show host, having run 24 episodes of her show Celtic Heart Wisdom on Awake TV network in 2020. This show aimed to connect viewers to the wisdoms, energies and healing codes of Ireland through conversational journeys featuring healers, wayshowers and spiritual teachers from Ireland and the UK. She also has regular media contributions on radio and various social media platforms. Now, obviously, doing the interview with Yvonne, I found out that her businesses have kind of gone by the wayside at the moment because certain things have happened. And you'll hear Yvonne talking about it, which is kind of, it's a bit disappointing because obviously she was doing a great job, but you know, this is the way the universe works. Obviously happened for a reason. I think Yvonne would actually agree with that as well. And we talk about it. So here's the interview with Yvonne and I will see you on the far side. Hi folks, I'm back again for another interview. I have a great lady called Yvonne Scully, who I have interviewed on my Sunday show a few months ago on the radio show. But it's great to be on camera with Yvonne and having a chat with her. Good evening, Yvonne. How are you doing?
Good evening, Alan. I'm doing well. I'm doing well. And thanks for the invitation to come on.
No problem. Thanks for coming on. Now, just a very brief bio. I know you've done an awful lot, but you say that you can be described as a visionary leader, dreamer, truth seeker, spiritual counsellor, writer,
Joyful Healing Explorer. And you also help people to overcome life challenges by removing the barriers within to access their own inner strength and guidance to create a more empowered, joyful life. Fantastic. All positive stuff there. And I know there's a lot more to you, but that's just kind of a brief intro. Now, we've spoken before, but there's been a lot of changes that's been going on for everybody. And the reason why I wanted to get you on is that something that you posted on Facebook, which was very poignant, and it hit a nerve with a lot of people who you're Facebook friends with. And I do want to read that out, because that's going to be a Kickstarter for the interview. And then we're going to take it from there, because there's a lot going on with the universe. People are feeling it. Loads going on. And your comment triggered a lot of people, you know, to say, yeah, actually, I agree with you. This is going on. So I want to read it out, if you don't mind, Yvonne. I'm going to do that now. So you posted up, many of us, myself included, have or are currently experiencing a fallout within our lives, sudden and unexpected changes, collapsing of careers, businesses, relationships, homes, not to mention an intensifying of chaos and horrors being unleashed in the world before our eyes. I think we'd not agree with that. It can be very overwhelming. I was from a soul perspective. I know all of it is orchestrated for us, and that before creation comes destruction, that it is paving the way for more beauty and love to manifest. On a human level, it is very uncomfortable. Your advice, as you say, for what it's worth, is to lean into all the feels, sit with it, be vulnerable, sad, cry, feel fearful, and then take a deep breath and open your heart even more. I have felt it all these past few days. When darkness comes, shine your heart even brighter. Dissolve those lower frequencies which are love within. I found that very poignant when I seen you post it up on Facebook. So tell me why you were inspired to write that.
Because I, you know, obviously you mentioned at the start there, you know, I am a wellness entrepreneur, and, you know, part of my role, if you like, this lifetime is to try and lead people and help people realize their potential. And I am witnessing in my own life and in many, many people that I interact with, there's a lot of collapsing of stuff where energies are fading away, and it can feel really, really uncomfortable for people. And as I said, I very much lead by example, and I try to be authentic. So as I said to you before we started this interview, you know, what you see with me on social media is who I am when you meet me in person. So I don't strategize. I don't do anything.
You wear your heart on your sleeve.
Pardon?
You wear your heart on your sleeve, basically.
I wear my heart on my sleeve, and I felt really inspired to do this post because, as I said, it's really kind of a reflection of my own journey at the moment. And it is, there is a lot of stuff happening in my own life. And to personalize it, I suppose, with a view to maybe helping it to resonate with some people is, you know, I've had a wellness business for a number of years. It's been very successful. We've had 3 different centers. You know, we've had people from all over the world come and interact and provide services and therapeutic offerings over the last, I don't know, it's almost 10 years actually. And in the last 12 months, I've lost 3 of my centres, very unexpectedly. And 2 of them, one of them wasn't doing so well, so that was a business decision to let that one go. But 2 of them, you know, are doing well, you know, and have been, okay, they're not massively huge companies, they're small centres, but they were very, very successful and created a lot of healing and light. And just through a series of different, I suppose, events, they've been taken away from me. One of the most recently was, I have a lovely centre in Lakeshore Village in Blessington, and I literally was given less than 30 days by the landlord to notice to quit, which became very, very unexpected. And I did a live just announcing that in a very eloquent way, because I'm not about bitterness, or, I mean, obviously we could give out a lot about greedy landlords and say, oh, that's terrible, they only gave you 25 or 30 days notice. But I did a live on that to be transparent with people while we were closing. but also, and the post that you read out is a kind of a follow-on from that, because from the initial live I did, I literally, I am not kidding, had hundreds of people contact me. Because what I spoke to, which is, as I said, a theme of what that post is about, is that, yes, there's things falling away. And of course, on a human level, I was shocked because I did not see that coming. Because I was very much blindsided. I mean, I don't need to go into the detail, but I was very much blindsided by the people that decided to give me notice to quit. And so I was shocked. But even in the middle of the shock and the chaos, you know, through my own kind of inner work and my own just, you know, my experiences of leaning into discomfort over the years, I was able to center myself and not focus on the drama of that happening, but more focus. And this is what I'm encouraging people to do. More focus on, okay, this energy is being pulled away now. So this is decaying. And as the energies of the universe start to raise, and raise they are absolutely starting to raise. And I think this is one reason why there's a huge amount of chaos in the world at the moment. Because as these energies, you know, start to raise, things that are no longer in alignment start to collapse away, which feels really, really uncomfortable. But what I suggested to in that post, and what I'm encouraging people to do even in the live, was to say, okay, this energy is falling away, but let's not get into the drama of it. Let's focus on the void that's being created and focus more on cultivating a sense of excitement, curiosity about what is going to come in instead of it. So that's the kind of, so opening your heart more. So instead of going, oh my God, drama, and you know, this is so bad, and they're mean, and this is bad, and that's bad, just say, right, this is happening, but I'm going to open my heart more, because when we're faced with these kind of challenges and, you know, darkness, if you like, we have to open our hearts more. We have to shine more love in the world. We have to start to become our own creators, because this is what this invitation is. As the old world fades and destructs around us, and believe me, on a personal level, it is happening left, right and centre. I was only chatting to a friend today and she was like, oh my God, you have had so much going on between relationships, between businesses, between, you know, personal stuff. My home is potentially, you know, I live right beside the centre where I'm being evicted, essentially, and I'm not sure my own home is going to be stable now in the next couple of months. So I'm even kind of looking, going, even my home where I live, I don't know if I'm going to have it in a couple of months' time. So I'm in that space. So I'm really in a rocky state at the moment. But on a human level, yes, we have to allow ourselves to experience the sadness, the fear, you know, even the anger, whatever it is, but not to get tied into that and focus more on opening our hearts more and focus more on creating something within the void that's been, you know, created as a result of things falling away. And it resonated with a lot of people. Like massive amounts. I mean, the live I did, now I don't care about how many followers we have. That's not my motivation.
Yes.
I literally got up and did that live, and I did that post that you read out very much how I felt in the moment. But I've literally had hundreds of people contacted me, and yourself included, saying that resonated with a lot of people. Let's discuss this, you know.
Resonates with me as well, yeah.
Yeah, and people have been contacting me and they're feeling it. Everyone's feeling it. I have people in the States, I have people in Canada that I know, and they're coming on to me saying, do you know what? I'm experiencing this as well. Everything is collapsing around me. What do we do? And as my post suggests, you know, let's lean into it. Let's not get into the drama. Lean into it, feel it. Find supportive people around you, but open your heart even more. This is what we're here to do. Bring more love in.
I've said it before on a couple of interviews that I've done. I mean, you can see my logo behind. It's the old earth and the new earth, right? And
yeah, I love it. Yeah.
Right? That's the whole idea of that. Not so much 3D, 5D, you know, because, you know, I just think the old is going away and the new is going to be coming in. And in between the two is the chaos. It's the imbalance and what we're experiencing at the moment. And like anything, you know, it's like we're moving house. And to move from an old house to a new house, you have all the chaos of moving. And that's what we're doing. Now, the question has to be asked. There's a lot of talk about this shift and this move and frequencies and energies and what people are feeling. And people are feeling very sick as well. They're not very healthy. A lot of people are feeling ill. And Dolores Cannon, for a lot of work that she did, she talked about this shift that's coming. And everybody has their own opinion of what they feel is going to be happening. Some people do actually think it's a physical ship to another planet. Other people think it's a shift of frequency. What we can all agree on is there's definitely something going on because we're all feeling it. And it's a collapse of business, collapse of relationships, collapse of friendships. You know, my God, I can see it in all the stuff I do from an alt media point of view. But people have come to me and they're saying the same thing as they have to you, I'm sure. So, what is your take on what you think the shift is going to be? Because everybody has their kind of own opinion on it.
I think for me, the shift is frequency based, you know. And I mean, one of the things, if you want to say one of my gifts, if you like, is to be able to tune into the frequencies of the earth. So, for example, where I live, there's a massive portal here. And I have noticed, I'm living here about 2.5 years, and I've noticed that the frequency of that portal and the expansion of that portal is ever increasing and accelerating and getting more and more powerful. And my understanding of it is that when the frequencies start to change and accelerate and get higher, if you like, it starts to, basically things start to fall away. And this is the discomfort that we're feeling. And it definitely feels like there's a huge amount shifting at the moment. It's like we're almost in a collective dark night of the soul. And, you know, some people would say there's some interference as well with maybe lower frequency energies. Like, it's kind of like a cornered rat type thing. So when you corner a rat, it's like the final, and it feels like there's a little bit of pushback on that, you know. And, but definitely for me, it's about raising a frequency. And as that raising of frequency happens, it's getting more and more turbulent, and stuff that's out of alignment is coming up to clear. So any deception, any businesses that are no longer in alignment with the new frequencies, because as a business leader, you know, my philosophy would be about, you know, giving to receive, being in service, devotional love, you know, the kind of business model that is a win-win. The older business models are based on manipulation, and I've experienced this firsthand. And I've learned some really hard business lessons over the last 2 years. Many, many hard business lessons, because I'm a very heart open. Somebody described me as quite innocent the other day, you know, because part of me, you know, expects people to have the same kind of morality or integrity that I would have. But in truth, not everybody has that level of integrity. So I've learned that, you know, a lot of the old business models are based on deceit, based on manipulation, control, power. Whereas the new business models are more about co-creation, community, collaborating, win-win, giving to receive, you know, this kind of thing. And as the frequency is changing to allow for that kind of business model and that kind of living in society, the old paradigms are kicking off, kicking and screaming.
Well, funny you should say that.
Doing their best to not make that happen.
Yeah, well, funny you should say that, because I actually talk about the new business model. And I was invited over to Poland to talk to a group about this cooperative model. I call it the fluid cooperative model, which myself and a few other people are talking about. And this is beginning to come in to businesses. And I'm not going to talk about it here, but we're switching from the hierarchical model, which is what we're all used to. I mean, my background is corporate. You know, I used to live in London, and I did the corporate ladder and all that kind of stuff. So it's all hierarchical. You know, the few at the top control the many, right? That all has to change. That pyramid has to flip. And I talk about this on my Rumble channel. I've explained what the cooperative model is and why it all has to become service to each other. And it has to be more of a flat structure, not of a pyramid structure. So I'm already talking to people about that. And like you, I have a little hobby niche business that is also I'm beginning to kind of wind down, because it's a 3D business model, let's just call it that. And I need to look at something that's more of a 5D business model, that's more service to others and service to spirit and energy and everything else. Something that you said about the whole, you know, the business side, I totally agree. One thing, the more you kind of realize what's going on, you know, the saying about the more you understand humans, the more you want to work with animals. And it's not that. And as we grow spiritually and as we get to know people, because of my background in psychology as well, you know, I kind of have learned an awful lot over the years of understanding humanity and manipulation and the control of certain people and stuff like that. Like you have, you know, in a hard way regarding business. And so you have fewer people around you because you just don't tolerate that kind of attitude from people. The lack of respect, the lack of integrity, the lack of character, you know. And I'm seeing that more and more. And maybe we just have an automatic filtering system between us where we just go, yeah, I don't want that person around me because their energy is too low. It's not the right energy for me. I'm going to keep them at a distance. And that's something I always talk about anyway. But you're saying there's going to be shifts in frequency. I mean, do you think this is going to be ongoing for the next, I don't know, 100 years? Or do you think we're going to be there's going to be a build up to some kind of climax within a few years? And how will we know with the frequency change? I mean, have you looked at all of this and had to think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're in the midst of it, in the frequency changes. And my understanding, and I don't claim to be an authority on anything, I only share what my experience is, but my understanding of it is we're in the potential, there's potential, many potential timelines that can play out. And literally from moment to moment, they can change and shift. And the big lesson for all of us here at the moment is that the frequencies are raising. There's never been a greater time on this planet to really connect with your soul essence and to start to cultivate and create from the light within you. And how all this plays out depends on how much we're willing to tune into that and how much we're willing to let go. So if I go back to the story of the center, you know, I could have stayed in a frequency of, oh my God, poor me, I'm a victim, big business, blah, blah. And I just kind of went, you know what, I'm not going to focus my energy on that at all. I'm going to focus on creating something even bigger and better and have an absolute trust and surrender of the light within me and the light within all of our community that we've created to start to build something new. So as I kind of alluded to in my live and on some of my social media posts, this is not a sad story. This is about actually creating something beautiful from it. And I'm actually very excited about my business because, yes, I've lost 3 physical centres in the last 12 months, which I didn't foresee. But it's repivoting my business in a different direction. So I'm focusing more of my energy on creating events, on creating corporate wellness, which is starting to be big. You know, and even though I ran out of corporates, I have a corporate background as well. And in many ways, for me, the corporate was diminishing to my heart and to my soul. But there's a lot of amazing, amazing people. And this is a theme that I'm starting to see. And this is part of the frequencies. People are starting to open their mind. They're starting to open their hearts. Mm. And a lot of them, I mean, I'm knocking around the healing world for a long time now. So I've had plenty of practice and, you know, initiations into self-mastery and all of that, right? And a lot of the people I know as well. But there's people that are just newly waking up, shall we say, and who are just starting to open their hearts and their minds. And they're starting to realize that there's a whole other world out there that they didn't know existed. And so part of my role now, I think, is to be able to, if I'm going into corporates, you're touching the hearts and minds of people deep within the corporates that have their own individual experience happening. And we're giving them the opportunity to tune into that. And you know, the old age saying, you know, people will always remember how you made them feel. So we're starting to go into corporates and schools, which I'm very excited about that as well, because we're giving people an experience. We're giving people an opportunity to connect, even if it's just for a moment, with that divinity, with that power, that creative energy within them. And once they start to do that, it kind of kickstarts a whole kaleidoscope of experiences for people that can sometimes feel like their world is falling apart. Because as they start to open up and raise their frequency, and it's all happening collectively, and for some of us, we're kicking and screaming, and some of us, we can, and that is one timeline we can choose, or, you know, for the most of us, we're going to surrender into it, and we're going to start surrounding ourselves with people that can hold a space for us to understand what's happening, and start to create more of a excitement about what's coming in, rather than what's fading away. You know, but definitely people. So, you know, it's a good news story in that, yeah, the centres are gone, but it is an opportunity. As I said, I'm focusing my energy on what the opportunity is in it and how I can be of even more service. And look, I, like, as I said, I'm doing this a long time and the universe always has my back. and you are back and everybody else is back if we just allow ourselves to trust, you know. And I always, I know that when stuff falls away, something more amazing is coming in, you know. So it's just focus on that. And I said the business, it's just given me more opportunity because, you know, running a centre takes a lot of your time and energy. And you're holding space for like 50, 60 therapists and different things going on. So I know pulling back that energy, I can put that energy into something else and reach out to more people because more people need it. As these frequencies raise, more and more people are getting deeply uncomfortable. Things are falling apart and they need people to hold the space for them. So you know, it's all divinely planned.
Yeah, I had a reading there last week. And one of the things that was said to me through the reading was that I'm holding too much space for energy from other people and that it's time to focus on your own energy. So, you know, plans were put in place to make sure that I had my go-to place where I could focus on my energy and I can develop my energy. And it's not being selfish. It's just that they said, you're not developing, or you're inhibiting your development because you're holding space for other people's energy who probably aren't interested in developing their energy. You know, because I talk about the awakening process. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been down to the Open Mind Conference. I've spoken at that regarding the awakening process and the psychology involved in that. And the awakening process, generally, when people, it's something that triggers them. It's either a medical issue or they lose their job or it's a family member or just some kind of trigger in their life that switches on the light bulb and they take a peek behind the curtain and then they realize that there's this other life that's out there, which you just alluded to earlier on, and they go, God, I didn't know all this was here, and they're waking up. So maybe obviously the chaos that we're going through is to shake the tree and get these people to wake up. But there is going to be a percentage of people who won't wake up and who won't get it. So if it is true about timelines and frequencies and everything else that's talked about, what do you feel is going to happen to the dying line, let's call it that, you know, and the people involved with the dying line and the people who are not going to wake up, the percentage of people who just won't get it and won't wake up and that's it? What do you think is going to happen to them?
I think, you know, the people that start to open their mind and their perception and start to realise the power within, and it's a collective journey, but it's also individual. I think these people are going to see just how powerful and creative they can be. So even though there's chaos in the world, and even though even myself at the moment I'm experiencing quite a lot of discomfort, I also have incredible joy and incredible synchronicities, and there's so much beauty and abundance in my life, you know. And I think those people are going to start to see the magic of their being, and they're going to start to realise just how amazing, and they're going to literally have heaven on earth here and now. We can hear, you know, if we shift our perception a different way, they're going to experience that now. They're not going to be affected by the chaos in the world as deeply as the ones who aren't going to allow themselves to open up. My sense of it is that they're going to experience more hardship, more stress, more anxiety, addictions, breakdowns, all sorts of stuff going on. Because a lot of the anxiety I feel people are experiencing is because they're not allowing themselves to fully expand into their wholeness. So things are getting more and more intense within them. Because their heart and mind wants to open, but as they're kind of clinging to the old. So those people are going to experience an intensification of all those negative things. The other people are going to start to experience heaven on earth and the beauty of their own creation. That's my sense of it. And even in the midst, I said, even though I'm going through a lot, my friend today was like, holy God, like you've had so much going on. Yes, I've had discomfort, but I actually have a lot of beauty. Like, you know, I still experience a lot of joy. I do experience desolation, of course. You know, I'm human. And that's what I said in that post, you know, experience it all. Allow yourself to feel sad. And I've cried a few times this week. Yeah. You know, I felt sad. I felt all the feels. But overwhelmingly, though, you know, I allow myself to go through those moments. But I feel so much joy and excitement and a sense of peace as well. And this is what the people that open their hearts and minds are going to experience more and more of that. And as they do that, then that collectively, that's going to move into that kind of energy as a grander scheme. But the ones that are not going to open their hearts and minds, my sense of it is they're going to experience more hardship. They're going to make life more difficult for themselves.
Something that you said there, that's what I was going to jump in there, when you said about them not opening up, that's the ego. And the thing is with the ego, you know, we're going through we're dealing with the shadow side here, and the ego is coming out. And I'm seeing more and more of this ego coming out with people. But the ego is part of us, right? And the ego's there, is the voice on the shoulder, and it keeps us in our comfort zone. It doesn't allow us to step aside it because it's there to protect us, right? And that's the voice that we hear going, don't do it, it's very scary, you know, stay within your comfort zone, right? But it's only when we get outside our comfort zone and we ignore the ego and do it, that's when we start learning. So when you said about, you know, the people not wanting to do it, that's their ego. The ego is trying to protect them, and they need to tell the ego to shut up and go and take the leap of faith and make that change. As you say, some people, because of the ego, are not going to do it. And maybe the universe is going to make it harder for them until they've no choice but to do it. I know that when we are going through the COVID years, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, and I actually asked a few people at the time who didn't get the jab and gone through the 2 or 3 years, I said, how are you? How's life for you? How are you experiencing life for all this kind of lockdown and everything that's gone on? And they said, yeah, we're pretty okay. I'm okay, you know, not too bad at all. And then I asked people who were jabbed and gone through it, and they were all, oh my God, you know, because obviously they were using psychology, you know, shutting down the prefrontal cortex. Nefed and Sage in the UK were using psychology to manipulate the people, et cetera, et cetera. But it's funny how the people who are outside the matrix and they could see the magic trick, they knew what was going on. You know, all the fear that they were pushing, you know, and what was behind it. So when you know the magic trick and how it's done, it doesn't matter how many times you do it. Once you know how the magic trick is done, you can't be fooled. But the people who are inside the matrix who didn't know what was going on, didn't know the bigger picture, they are the one that were panicking and worrying. And of course, we've seen the effects of all of that because I've interviewed 8 doctors and 3 funeral directors. And they were just telling me what they were seeing and what they were experiencing and what was going on. But that's the price of ignorance, I suppose. At the end of the day, you know, I always say knowledge gives you choice, ignorance doesn't. And if you knew that the vaccine, we call it the vaccine, but we know it wasn't. Well, if they knew what was in the vaccine and what it was all about, then they could choose whether you wanted to get it or not. But because they were ignorant of that, they obviously just followed, outsourced their thinking and left it to the government. And then they obviously got jabbed. So yeah. I think you're right from a universe point of view. I mean, I normally say, you know, I realize I'm down here to do a job, and wherever spirit wants to take me, because I think at the end of the day, while we're down here, we have a job to do. And that's, and one of the things that, like you, I was doing on Circle of White Light, a thing called Pay It Forward.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, and that has, you know, that has been running great for the last 2 or 3 years, and over €17,000 was donated to worthy causes and all the groups. But that now funding's not available. And I'm like you, I'm thinking, what's going on? I mean, what's happening here? What are you trying to tell me here with the universe? And you're the same probably with your business. You know, when these things are happening, I'm sure you sat down and said, what's going on here? I'm trying to service to others. What are you doing? You're pulling the plug out here. What's happening?
Yeah.
So, as you say, the only thing that we can sit down and think about when we look at this and analyze it is to go, obviously there's something better and bigger coming down the line, and that's where you don't want us to go. You want us to go somewhere else.
Yeah, and my sense of it as well is that, as you said there, we all have our own job to do here, you know, whatever it is. And part of one of my, you know, passions or purposes, if you like, this lifetime is to help people tap into that. What is their purpose, no matter what it is? But I do have, I have observed that people have to step up really now. So it's like as if people, the light bearers or the light workers or whatever you want to call them, the people are anchoring the light in and helping to hold the frequencies and anchor them fully into this earth. They're getting a lot of initiations, initiation after initiation. And I feel that they really have to start stepping up now. And a lot of my friends, I'm very fortunate to be surrounded by some amazing beings, and they're all starting to click into gear. It's like as if there's a collective right, now we have to step up. We're here to do this now. We need to, you know, get on the front line and anchor this and hold this and be the best version of ourselves and pave that way and hold that space for the people. The mass awakening, it is happening. I'm seeing it. Like, I'm going into schools and you can see, because a lot of the teenagers, for example, have been really targeted by the system. So they're quite shut down, their perception, their hearts are kind of closed. And we're going into schools and I can see these are amazing, amazing souls that have very high frequency advanced DNA. And they just need almost, they're like sleeper cells, you know, and they just need somebody to go in. And as I was trying to explain to my friend, on one level, we're going in and we're doing meditation and we're doing drumming and sound baths, with whether it be corporates or teenagers, but I'm specifically thinking of teenagers at the moment. And we're going in. So there's a 3D level of that experience. But I'm also aware that on a 5D level, it's like there's an activation. So it's like in a higher level that's kind of opening up or awakening the sleeper cell within them. And you can see it. And once we enable them to do that, and once we give them the space to do that, to connect with that part of themselves, they will do the rest of the work, you know. But this is where we're called to step up, because, you know, I'm an elder now. I've been knocking around the shop a while, right? I'm part of the elder crew, you know, the old crone. But, you know, we have to step up, and we're really being called to do that, to anchor that, and to hold that space for other people that are just starting to awaken. And that's really important. And it's really important. It's one of my life passions. I basically dedicate my life to this. I mean, obviously I have to sustain myself and, you know, pay my rent and live. But I live very humbly. I'm not after fame or fortune or any of that. I'm here to do a job, and I've dedicated my life to help people to open their mind and their heart and tap into who they really are. Because once they do that, you know, the system hasn't, this old system, this darkness, this pervasiveness within society that's designed to keep us suppressed, cannot survive when people start to tap into who they are. Mm. Because, you know, a lot of the people that were maybe more open perception for the COVID story didn't get pulled into the fear of it, myself included. I knew exactly what was going on, and I was just like, right, whatever. And when you don't get pulled into the fear of it and the programming and the mass psychosis or the psychological warfare, it has no power over you.
Of course,
power.
Yeah.
You know, so it just doesn't have power. And the more people tap into their own inner light and their purpose, no matter what story they're going to play out, it doesn't matter. It's just like, yeah, whatever, you do your thing. So it's important, and I think I might have said this on your last show, it's important to be very streetwise to what's happening. Yeah. But also not to give your energy to the drama of it.
Yeah.
Like with my centre. So when I was evicted with less than 30 days notice, I mean, I probably could have kicked and screamed and whatever. But I just, you know what? That is what it is. I'm going to focus on something else. And we have to be aware of what's going on and be very streetwise to it, but focus on creating the new and focus on helping people to tap into the power of who they are. Because that is the beauty. We are incredibly powerful beings and we create our reality. And it's all about our point of perception.
Yeah.
Our point of perception is what makes the difference between living in fear and living from love.
Yeah.
And living from a point where you're creating and co-creating and experiencing. So two people, for example, can have similar experiences. Take COVID, for example. One person's terrified, living in fear, masked up, jabbed up, blah, blah, blah. Terrified. And I have a lot of compassion for that person, by the way. So I'm not saying that as a judgment. The other person is not in any way fearful of it, is living their life, you know, as fully and as wholly as they can. Two similar experiences, different perceptions. Mm. Look at the difference in perception and the difference that the person is actually experiencing in their day-to-day life.
Mm.
So the more people we can get to live in a more empowered way, full way, based on love, not fear, we have heaven on earth. It's here already. It's here for the taking. We just have to shift our gear, shift our perception and live it that way.
Yeah, totally. Well, I talk about perception an awful lot because perception is your belief system. And you get your belief system from the age of 7 onwards. And a lot of people say, oh, I don't understand why that person doesn't get it. They're very intelligent. And I say, well, it's not about intelligence. It's about perception. Because perception is your belief system. And you get your belief system from your friends and family, your teachers and everything else as you grow up. And something I talk about the awakening process is that when somebody for 20 years, if their perception that 2 and 2 is 5, and me and you come along and say 2 and 2 is 4, they'll go, would you go anywhere with that? I've been told for 20 years 2 and 2 is 5. So it's all about, it is about perception. You're spot on there. It's not about intelligence. It's about perception. Because if it was about intelligence, you'd have all these academics waking up very quickly about what's going on. But a lot of them don't. And a lot of them are paid not to wake up either. So perception is very important. And the whole idea of perception and your belief system, which is what I say also about the awakening process, Aristotle said that the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought while accepting it. So you entertain everything and you're part of the ego, but you ask for the facts and the evidence, right? But you entertain it because you're challenging all your belief systems by entertaining, and you entertain everything. Because some people half the belief system, the things that won't affect their life, they're pretty open to. But the things that they're really stuck on with their belief system, they don't challenge. And when I say about the fluid belief system, because that's what I'd call it, the fluid belief system, is to challenge everything and entertain it. And part of, I mean, we're going back, what, 2017 when we did the talk in Open, 6 years now. I remember seeing you in the reception of Open Minds, were passing you in there. You probably didn't know who I was anyway, because I knew who you are, but we didn't put our faces out there in OIM, you see. So you probably didn't know who I was, but I recognized you from Facebook. But this is going back now 6 years that we were talking all about this. And funny, I was talking to Trevor the other day. And I was just, I was thinking in the back of my mind, I wonder when the Open Minds Conference start up again. I mean, you might have to hint it to hint at Trevor, and maybe we'll have to do it. Cause all this kind of, have a chat with him. Cause all this wokey cokey stuff is then people are beginning to wake up now. I think this is ridiculous. Mm. This is the dying lion trying to, basically they're throwing everything at us at the moment because they know that it's the end of it. And literally, they are throwing everything at us. They want to see what sticks. But it's not sticking. People are beginning to wake up. Now, it's going to take a bit more time. I mean, I don't know for any kind of deadlines or anything. But, I mean, the frequencies have been, the human frequency since the 1980s has been off the charts. I mean, it's just really been ramping up and affecting us. And people are feeling the energies. And they're not feeling, health is a big problem with a lot of people as well. What do you think is going on regarding people's health with what's going on with you? Is it because the energies are affecting them?
I think so. And even myself, like I'm very healthy, but I'm finding the last couple of weeks I'm very tired. I have aches and pains and stuff. So I think people have to really listen to their body. And I was vegan for a long time and vegetarian, and I got a sense to maybe start eating a little bit more meat. I don't eat a lot of meat, but I have started to eat a little bit of meat. So I think people have to tune into their bodies. Our bodies are changing. Our DNA is upgrading. Mm. You know, as we start to anchor in and download and embody these frequencies, we are changing. Our physical vessels are changing. And I've also started to eat a lot lighter myself. So I don't eat as much. So I generally would only have maybe one or two meals a day. I'm juicing quite a lot. I'm having a little bit of meat here and there. I think our bodies are changing, and this is why it can feel like ill health, and I feel like our bodies are falling apart a little bit. All these unexplained aches and pains and illnesses and stuff like that. I mean, there could be other reasons for that as well, depending on what people decided to accept or not. But definitely our bodies are changing, and I think we have to listen to our bodies and obviously try and practice really good self-care. So plenty of time in nature, eating a relatively good diet, maybe looking at moving your body and stuff like that just to get the energies going, and resting. Like I like to have little power naps during the day, because sometimes I just am consumed by this tiredness.
Yeah, totally. I do it as well,
My body wants to shut down. Mm. Now maybe that's a mid-40s thing, I don't know, but like there's times where I
mid-50s.
Just
need to go.
It's like, but I just have to lie down, and you know, I laugh going, I'm going to meditate. I'm not, I'm just going to nap and I'll sleep for an hour. But it's like as if my body just wants to shut down. So I'd say to people, listen to your body. I think a lot of the health stuff people are experiencing is because their body is changing and they're assimilating the energies and stuff. So I would definitely tell people to practice a lot of self-care, and the self-care includes the monkey mind as well. So the stories you're telling yourself, and just going back to the perception, I think real self-mastery now at this point you know, this time in humanity is to be able to hold multiple perceptions at once. Mm-hmm. So that you can hold compassion and non-judgment for people that are on different levels of perception to you. So to be able to look at things and realize, you know, that's one perception, this is another perception. Depending on your point of perception, they're all right, you know. So it's to try and be able to hold multiple points of perception. I think that's a self-mastery piece at the moment. Mm. And to not to judge and to have a lot of compassion for people. Because I know a lot of really good people with beautiful, beautiful hearts that, you know, got caught up in the stories and the narratives of the mainstream, including some of the narratives that are playing out at the moment with various different stuff going on. The world. I mean, the best thing I ever did, Alan, was throw out my TV. I have no TV in my house. I remember a painter came a couple of weeks ago to paint the house and he was looking around going, that's weird, you've no telly. Yeah. I was like, no, and I haven't for years, you know, and so I don't listen to any mainstream media, you know, because then it doesn't, I mean, I do listen to YouTube videos and, you know, podcasts and stuff like that, but I don't listen to any mainstream. I don't get bought into it. And it's amazing how even the whole fear around weather alerts, everything's yellow status. And I know there's a lot of stuff happening in the world, but, you know, sometimes you can get into the fear of even, you know, weather alerts and stuff like that. It's just go with the flow, take each moment as it comes, you know.
I say there's a lot going on at the moment with the latest news, and I totally agree, you know. Obviously, with my family, they watch certain programs. I don't. Unless it's like Shed and Buried or Care programs, Care Repair programs, comedy programs I watch. But Junior News, I would watch quickly, probably a little bit of what GB News, because GB News in the UK, although there's a kind of shift at the moment, but they were really talking about things, you know, like they were saying, and Diamond mentioned it a while ago about aspartame. You know, and how bad it was, you know, and the WHO have come out and said you shouldn't be taking, you know, aspartame. So I watch a little bit of GB News, but definitely don't watch any of the other rubbish at all. And I feel so much better for doing that. And again, our energy is so important. Again, I know I always quote kind of Dr. Bruce Lipton and the study of epidemiology, and, you know, you can't be either positive or negative. And something that I talk about all the time is about, how is your perception of the world? Do you see the world glass half full, glass half empty? Because that will dictate your energy, right? Mm-hmm. So if you see the, you know, like for me, I'm a corporate person who's an IT guy. So I was always solving problems. I'm a problem solver, right? So I always see the glasses half full because I always want a solution. I look for the solution. But there's people out there that will have a problem for every solution because they see the glass half empty. Mm-hmm. And they're the people who you stay away from, in all honesty, because you never please them, because that's the way they see the world, where you have to be with people who have a glass half full approach and are positive. So they're renting space for negative stuff in your mind, which is the way Dr. Bruce Lipton describes epidemiology. Try and be more positive and not negative, and don't let the negative stuff rent space. So that's the important side. But again, if you're going back to what we said about your perception, how you perceive things, and everybody's on a journey, and some people are further down the road than others. Somebody 2 weeks ago has just woken up, and he might be talking about smart meters or fluoride in the water. And to you and me, Yvonne, like we did that 10 years ago, probably 20 years ago. But to them, they've only just woke up and realized. So we have to be not arrogant in any way, shape or form, but we should be nurturing for them and speak to them in a way that they'll understand. And what I always say, give them information that resonates with their frequency and what they've woke up to, because there's no point going, oh, you know about fluoride, well, how about Area 51? And do you think, oh, no, that's too much for them. You know, it won't resonate with them, and they will call you a conspiracy theorist, even though they've just woken up to fluoride and smart meters. So I try and say to people all the time when I do my show is to look, just remember that people are waking up all the time and they're at different levels, and we have to respect the level they're at and give them information on the level they're at. You know, and that's the best way to nurture them. But obviously I get asked all the time because I talk about the fluid belief system. I did an interview there last week with Catherine Edwards, and she was saying about, you know, you give people all the information as you do when you first wake up, and everybody starts calling you a conspiracy theorist. So then I started applying the psychology, and she said, oh, well, that makes sense. You know, so again, we're all on a journey of learning, and everybody's waking up at different times. And the more people that wake up, the more the energy changes and the shift happens on the planet, I think. Mm. I don't think we're going to get everybody, but I think we're going to get, I'd like to think we're going to get, as time goes on, more and more people waking up, and people like yourself, myself, carry on doing what we're doing. Although it's frustrating for us because, you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but excuse me, do you feel that you want to do more, but you don't have the resources to do more? And you're saying to spirit, you're saying, oh, the universe, look, guys, if you give me the tools, I'll do the bloody job. Just give me the tools to do the job. And they probably know your journey better than you. And they're going, well, we're not going to give you the tools because we know you have one or two things to do for us before you get them. You're just being a bit impatient like a child, you know?
Yeah.
And because we are who we are, sometimes we get impatient because we are human after all. But do you feel frustrated at times?
I mean, yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I do, but I try not to stay in that energy of that, you know,
yeah.
And that, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously when my centre got taken off me with short notice, I'm kind of going, well, how am I supposed to anchor the light here? You know, come on, help me out, you know. So I do get frustration, but I tend not to dwell on it too much, you know, and I think even around, like, I'm a long time conspiracy theorist, shall we say, and, you know, I think we can get stuck down those rabbit holes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And focus a lot of her attention. And a friend of mine, you probably know her, Aisling Fitzgibbon.
Yeah.
She was the Girl Against Fluoride. She's just written a really great book, From Freedom to Trust. And she did a book opening, a book launch in Blessington recently. And she spoke about, and I thought, you know, she was a long time campaigner for fluoride and, you know, really at the front, cutting edge of all of that resistance against that. And what she said at her book launch, which really stuck with me, is what we oppose, we strengthen.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're putting, so she was putting all her energy into fighting the fluoride. And in the end, she just kind of realized, you know what, I'm going to waste, I'm a huge amount of my energy is spent trying to fight this old system. So what she did is she pulled back that energy and she focused her energies on something else and writing this book, which is a very empowering book. And it's a little bit like that with a lot of the stuff that's happening in the world, that if we put all our focus and our energy into the conspiracy, into the unfolding of what it is. And believe me, you can get stuck down. I mean, when you really go into it, every facet of society has a story and a rabbit hole to go down, and it's all inverted. And you could spend lifetimes trying to unravel all the craziness and corruption and darkness. And we have.
Yeah.
But I think, as I said, streetwise is important. Have a knowledge and a wisdom of it.
Yeah.
But don't focus all your energy, because remember, what you oppose, you strengthen.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, right, I'm aware of that and I'm going to focus on something else and I'm going to focus on creating something new, that's where we need to start moving our energy into. Yes, get people aware of what's going on, because you do have to be streetwise. You can't be completely innocent to what's going on. Your eyes have to be opened enough to make you propel you forward to go, I'm not going to have this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm going to create something new for my grandchildren and the future generation. So I'm going to be aware of that and I'm going to focus on something else. And that's, I think, what we need to do. And I felt there was a lot of wisdom in what you were saying there. What we oppose, we strengthen.
Mm.
So why don't we put all our precious creative energy and focus and love into creating something beautiful?
Totally.
And that's what I intend to do, you know? That's what I'm trying to do. Life and hopefully inspire others, you know?
Yeah, totally. I would say, what I normally say to people is, and I've had this where somebody would say, there'd be an incident in the world and they'd go to me, oh, well, I don't know whether the shooter had two guns or three guns. And I said, look, it doesn't matter what they had. I'd say, do you believe that there's a group of people in the world who are controlling and manipulating everything? And they go, yes. And I go, right, go and play with your kids and have fun. That's all you need to know. You don't need to know whether he has two guns, three guns, or whether there's two bullets, three bullets. Doesn't matter. As long as you know there's nasty people out there doing nasty things and controlling things, that's all you need to know. And so go out, because this can, and it has, it consumes you. And it can take over your life. And it did for me years ago. I was 24/7 and you're on this emotional roller coaster going up and down, affecting your energy. And you realize you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to get emotionally involved and putting an emotion into certain things. Not everything, but certain things, because that's their game for us to be emotionally affected. The other thing I always say now also is I'm not getting involved in something I can't change. I only focus on the things I can change. So what's going on? I've been asked my opinion, what's happening on in the Middle East? And I say, you know what? I don't know enough about it to comment, and there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm just going to focus on the things I can change in my life and the people around me, because they're the things I can work on. I can't do anything about that over there, you know? And I think people need to stay away from things that they can't change, because you can't change it. So why let it into your life, and why let it affect you emotionally? You know, it's bad that them things are going on over there, you know, and anything like that that happens is pretty bad. But that's all being controlled and manipulated by higher levels in society, in the pyramid, and the general population don't understand it and don't realize that that is being controlled. That chess game is controlled by both sides. You know, there's one person controlling both sides, you know, our group controlling both sides. So there's more to it than what they're seeing and what the media is showing. But I can't do anything about that at the moment. So I just try and focus on what I can, you know, change from a day-to-day point of view. And the focus is, you know, what do you want me to do next? I take it from there.
There's a lot of wisdom in that. And actually, you know, on that point, you know, I had hundreds of people contact me when the centre situation happened. And one particular lady, and this is how we can turn a negative into a positive. One particular lady rang me who I didn't know and said to me, look, you know, I've been watching what you're doing from afar. I'd be surprised how much, I mean, we wouldn't have a massive following on social media, but we obviously, you know, people get a sense of what we're about, you know. And she said, I've been really inspired by a lot of the stuff you're doing, and I really feel the light and the healing and the joy and all of that that you've brought to the area. And she said, you know, I feel guided to let you know to celebrate everything that you've done. So with that, and she's a singer, she's a sacred singer called Denise Hagen. And she said, I feel I would like to gift you, I'll come down to Lakeshore and I'll do a concert for you as part of that celebration. And I just thought, when she said it to me, I thought, wow, isn't that? Because, you know, we were faced with the darkness of maybe greed or ruthless businessmen and whatever. And that's who they are.
Yeah.
We are who we are. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have a celebration. We're going to have a celebration. We're going to create a sonic wave of love and talk about all the beauty that we created and the healing and the light, gather people together. We're going to vision in what we want individually, collectively. So I booked across the way. It's my last little furore with them, shall we say, before I disconnect all of my creative endeavours with them. But we're going to have a big celebration ceremony. And so instead of focusing on the negativity, we're going to create a sonic wave of love. Because I understand in the quantum field, if we gather people, if we have 50, 100 people gathered in a room, celebrating, honouring each other, appreciating all we've done and visioning in something else and opening our hearts, it creates this wave. And that sonic wave is going to go off into the ether, and it's going to start to resonate, and it's going to pull in an experience for whatever our next phase is. So we're doing that. And that lady's coming down as well to do her sacred song, and she's going to sing and do storytelling. And it's going to be the most incredible high vibrational event. And I know that the effects of that will be, you know, felt long after that is over. And I said, there's a lesson in this for people. So when you're faced with darkness, shine your heart even more. Be more loving. Be more generous with your heart and your energy and your visioning and your creative potential. That is how we face this. This is how we overcome this. Instead of cowering and going, oh my God, we're victims and they've done this and they've done that. Just go, you are who you are. We are who we are. And we're going to, you know, shine our hearts even brighter. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it next Saturday. And I know in the quantum field, that's going to create a wave, and it's going to inspire people, and it's going to help people vision in and create something really, really beautiful. And that's the way to face some of these things. Let's turn the reality into something even more beautiful.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, I think
there's a life lesson in that.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. To finish up, I think, because I normally say, what's for the future? I mean, that's obviously one thing for the future that's going to happen next Saturday. But long term, to finish things up, what's the future for yourself and your plans?
I think I am going to finish. I am going to focus my energy on corporate work because there is people within the corporates that need people like ourselves with open hearts and minds to go in and show them a different way. I'm going to focus on the schools. And after that, I don't really know. I am doing my own events as well, which is born out of inspiring others to connect in with themselves. So I'll continue with that. But beyond that, Alan, I'm not sure. I feel there's a bit of an introspection for me for November, December, where I'm going to just sit and contemplate for a while and see what the next move is. And I think a lot of people might be in that energy before we're propelled fully into what we're here to do, that we need to step up. But I don't know, but I will follow my heart and I will follow the guidance and possibly travel as well. I feel intuitively I might be travelling next year. I don't know where to, but I'll just go wherever I'm guided. But I will focus. I mean, it's not the end of my company. You know, the physical assets are gone, but the company is going to grow and expand.
Yeah.
What it looks like, I'm not entirely sure, but it'll be beautiful no matter what it is.
So you're just going to change your business model, basically.
Yeah, just repivot. We'd already started it. We'd already started doing that anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not that big a change, you know, it's just expanding and putting our energy into that. But I mean, there is a bit of a great unknown, but, you know, we'll go with the flow.
Brilliant.
It'll be love that guides us and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think I'm in the same boat. I think I'm in that middle ground at the moment. And I'm saying, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? And I'm still kind of waiting on confirmation, you know, as to where do you want me to go and what do you want me to do? And it was quite interesting that the trip I did, the invitation up to Poland to talk about the fluid cooperative system and the fluid belief system was very interesting. Great bunch of people over there in Poland. And we had a great time, great chat. And they were very open-minded to it, you know. So maybe that's the start. I mean, Spirit did say to me that I'm going to be doing a lot more talks about this. Yeah. They said that's really going to be, maybe that's why there's a change, that they feel that that's where I should be going. And they did say that they can see that happening. So I'm just letting it go and just putting it out there. But just to finish things up, what do you want to give out any links that you want to give out to people to let them know where you are, websites or information or anything like that?
Yeah, well, you can follow me on Instagram at Yvonne Skelly Healing. Or at Lakeshore Wellness Centre. So we're quite active on our Instagram and on Facebook as well. But our website is lakeshorewellnesscentre.com, which is probably going to go through a little bit of a revamp with all the changes. But lakeshorewellnesscentre.com is a good starting point for people.
Fantastic. Yvonne, thank you for joining me on the show. And we'll talk again, maybe in a few months' time.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Cheers.
You're listening to Alan James on Circle of White Light Radio and People's Internet Radio.
There you go, folks. That was the interview I did with Yvonne Skelly a few weeks ago. It's on the Rumble channel. It's on video. You can see it there. But for people that haven't seen it, there you go. And we've covered quite a lot. And maybe that interview resonates with you in some way, shape or form with everything that's going on in your life and in the world at the moment. There's definitely a shift and a chaotic period. Now I'm going to bring in Lisa from Cry Freedom Radio. So I wanted to bring Lisa on. I asked her to come on. And thanks to Lisa, she agreed to it, and she's with me at the moment. Lisa, good evening.
I always agree, Alan. Good evening. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you fine. How are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'd just like to say again, that's the third time I've heard that interview. And quite honestly, I think it's so inspiring for me, I find, and hopefully for other people too. I think that was a fantastic chat you both had, so well done.
Cheers, Lisa. Thanks for that. And I appreciate that. It's great getting some positive feedback, obviously, with the work, both, you know, good and bad, constructive, I don't mind. But I think the fact that we are where we are today with everything that's going on, the chaos and the mayhem, I mentioned that on the interview about, you know, when you're moving house, you know, you have in the middle is the whole kind of rigmarole of moving everything. And maybe that's the period we're in. And I made a statement at the start of the show tonight saying about my concern about humanity. And I am very concerned about humanity. I don't know how you feel about it, but I just looking at it from a psychological point of view and what's going on in the world, you know, it's, and you know, you and me are in the alt media, Lisa, and we put ourselves out there, and by doing that you, we get attacked, and I've had my fair share of that. And as I said, when we talked, I did an interview and talked about this and said, there seems to be three kinds of people out there. The people who are afraid to challenge their belief system, so they'll attack you. Then you have the people who are paid to attack you because they don't want the information getting out. And then you have the people who might have been upset over a previous relationship or connection that we had. And obviously, you know, maybe they were exposed and doing something they shouldn't have been doing. So they have their people in the background themselves that will do the attacks. It is amazing how that happens. And I'm finding myself, I don't know about you, Lisa, but I'm finding myself more and more just kind of staying away from trouble or what I feel might be trouble or bad energy. And that's why I said to Yvonne about the, you know, the more you understand humans, the more you want to work with animals. And that's so true, you know, and you probably will agree with it because you now are a new owner of a dog and it looks like you're in love with the dog. But, you know, you can understand why, because it's just unconditional love from animals. That's all, you know.
I've always been in love with dogs, Alan. That's why part of my radio I call God Dog Productions, because I figured out that reverse thing with the dog God word, and words are so important, as we know. And so you can read so much into words. So obviously, dog is God backwards. And so we think that we're the gods. Well, many people think that we are the ultimate, you know, the humanity is the ultimate species. And then we see what we do to each other. And as you say, it's very easy to become despondent, isn't it? Because it's just not good, is it? And so, do you know what? I'll tell you what, I've had a bit of a turnaround within the last few months with regards to I've been doing this like you for over a decade. And for so many times, it was all about they're doing this, they are doing this, it's bad, they're whatever. I've started to change my mind in a way now. I've started to see that maybe this could be a learning platform, like people like Dolores Cannon used to say to us, where we come here to learn and you have to watch and observe everything and make your choices. And so I'm starting to now see it's not so much them against us, it's us against us.
Yeah. Well, I'm just trying to stay sane. And I know, and it's very hard to do, but one thing I know is that staying away from people has made things good for me. And I think we have to respect ourselves. And let's just say, when somebody doesn't respect you, it's not worthwhile you giving them respect if they're not respecting you. And it's not, you know, this is not about throwing your ties out of the pram. It's just self-preservation. And you saying, look, you know, if you're not going to show me respect, why should I show you respect? And then you say, okay, I'm drawing a line under that. Sorry, but at the end of the day, you know, I'm not going to go and make the effort if you're not going to be bothered to make the effort, because it takes two. And I have come across that on a couple of occasions over the last few weeks. And the one thing I will say to the listeners that in all the time that me and Lisa have been doing shows, we've always been respectful to each other. Yeah. And that's probably why it works, because we do respect each other and we've always been in contact and we've understood each other. And it's great to have that, mutual respect. Because that's what the way the world should be. But unfortunately, whether it's people's ego or whether it's something else in the background, I do have a subjective theory about this, which I do want to talk to a psychologist about regarding the whole idea of respect. But that's another show and another story down the line. So what's your take on what's happening, Lisa, in the world with energies and everything else? What are you seeing happening?
Well, you know, funnily enough, I was just watching while your show was on, while still listening, but I was just watching in the background. Someone sent me the video of Tommy Robinson in London at the last, whatever it was, a day or so ago. Apparently got arrested, and what's going on in London with regards to all of this stuff. Now, many of us believe, obviously, that this has all been, that none of this is happening by chance now, right? So some people will tune into the news on the good old mainstream and think, oh my God, this is happening. Wow. They won't see that this has all been part of a well-laid-out agenda for whatever reason. Again, it could be to teach us everything that's happening now is happening for a reason. I truly believe that. And so nothing's happening by chance. So all they said, again, if you listen to some of the stuff in America, Israel was always going to be last. So we have to believe that they knew that Israel was always going to be last. So we have to ask ourselves, what's coming after Israel? So it's all for a reason, for people to make choices, to see what's happening in this reality that we live in. And so, you know, the point is that we can't just sit on our laurels anymore and just take all this stuff in without reacting and seeing and knowing. We have to get to a stage now where we mature up. We start to see what this world really is. We stop doing all the stupid stuff that most humans do. And I'm not saying we can't enjoy ourselves, by the way. That's why we're here. We've got to enjoy ourselves too. But that it comes to a stage where Christmas is coming now. So obviously that's the ultimate. We just got past blooming Black Friday. This bloody Black Friday thing does my head in every blooming year. It's like Black Flat Friday. The clue's in the name, guys. What are they telling you to do on that day that you all do because you think you're going to get these good deals? Black Friday is not a good thing.
Yeah, no, totally. I went down shopping earlier today with my partner to get some cat food, get stocked up for cat food and stuff like that. And the normal shopping centre that we go down to, it was packed with people. And the Christmas, I mean, we're in November, for Christ's sake. Now, I know you'll turn around and go, but I have my Christmas tree up.
Not from a materialistic point of view, though, Alan.
No, I know. No, but, you know, obviously they're doing it from a materialistic corporate point of view and try and bring in Christmas and jingle bells is on and everything else. And, you know, in the essence of Christmas, right? Okay, you know, to get on, meet people, sit down, have a drink, relax. And all. Okay, I get all that, and that's great, right? But there's also the other side to it, which is the commercialism that, you know, they push it out there. And when I walk into a shop and it's November and I'm hearing Christmas songs, it just seems that as soon as Halloween is over, bang, it's Christmas, and then that's what's happening. But I do feel that there are changes going on. Definitely, I'm sure people are in the same boat, and I'm the same. Aches and pains that you didn't have are happening, and you're thinking, geez, okay, that feels a bit weird, you know, old age, is it, or whatever going on, and Yvonne alluded to that in the interview, and I'm sure that's the same for other people. Maybe it's the frequencies coming in. Maybe it's the frequencies that are affecting us. I know there's a lot going on, and I know people are predicting stuff, and they're saying, oh, well, you know, next April, March, or maybe June next year, there's going to be a big shift and change. And, oh, well, I've heard this for the last 20 years. You know what I mean? You know, and so I again, one of the things I mentioned to Yvonne, and I say it again, I am now focusing on the things I can change, and I'm just not interested in the things I can't change, because I can't change them. Why have it renting space in my head and living in there? You know, because it could be frustration, because when you see somebody being affected by something and you think, God, I'd love to be able to help them, but there's nothing I can do. It can play on you. So I just said, right, my focus now is focus on the things I can change, and then obviously do that. And then the other stuff, I'm not entertaining stuff I can't do. Like, you know, the Middle East, there's a lot going on there. I couldn't tell you the story of that because I just haven't been watching it, because there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah, that's my input. That's my view as well, in a way that, again, I think it's an agenda playing out that was always going to play out. So it's about we either follow that agenda and be totally dragged into it, or you actually see that there's your own agenda. So okay, I'm not ignoring it, I'm highlighting that maybe people are suffering out there. I get that. There's nothing I personally can do about that now, so I'm not going to sit 24/7 watching children dying or whatever. Again, I always mention the Wag the Dog movie, because people need to watch that to see what is done in virtual reality to make us believe certain things are true anyway. So we never know for certain. So I'm not going to bleed myself by not knowing what's really happening. So the best thing you can do is take it back to yourself, take it back to local, take it back to the people around you, and try to affect what's going on with them, and not, you know, look at what's going on. Again, it's all distraction, isn't it? But take that as a message to help people around you in a way that you can, whichever way it is. It might not be much. It might be small amounts. I had Ethna, I was talking to Ethna on my show last night, you know, as I know you had on your channel, the lady with breast cancer who's fighting it naturally, and she's asking for help because she's trying to do this on her own, and she's trying to do this. She's doing fantastically. It's about little things like that. So if each person just gave 10 quid to help one of our own get through something when they're trying to make a difference, if we can see that, the power of us when we join together, that little piece of money that you can give, that which would be what, a bottle of wine or something, whatever, if we all do that collectively, how much we can help each other.
I totally agree with that, and this is what kind of annoyed me with Pay Forward, because apart from the major funding that I was getting in really carried Pay It Forward, and I had little donations coming in, which is great and I appreciate them, but I did so many donations with the Pay It Forward. And everybody said, that's a great idea. But they'd rather spend €5 on some crap coffee from Starbucks than spend a euro a month to help their fellow man. And when you boil it down to that, how simple it is, you know, people say, oh, well, we'll never solve the problem. Yes, you can solve the problem. You empower yourself and empower others to, you know, help each other. Forget about the government. They're just a waste of space and parasites, right? Just take and Pay It Forward, ignore the government and rely on just people to make a small donation and €1, €2. And if we had 10,000 people doing that, how many people could we help? And we could escalate that. It's a very simple solution. It worked and it was great. A load of people benefited from it and it went down very well. But why?
I think you did amazing.
Yeah, but why? But why didn't people see it? Although they were saying, "What a great idea! Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant!" But yeah, the funding didn't follow up after that to €1 a month. And you know, so let me put it this way: Sigmund Freud, whether you love him or hate him, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. But Sigmund Freud said, "People do not want freedom because with freedom comes responsibility." And people don't want to be responsible. They want to be the victim and they want to blame everybody else. Oh, it's the government. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Oh, it's this. No. What about, it's about you empowering yourself and looking at what can be done. And if you can't do it, support people who are doing it or can do it. That's really what it boils down to.
Absolutely, Alan. Absolutely. And again, you know, I've been trying to say this for 10 years. I'm not saying I'm fantastic and, you know, some kind of icon, but I've been trying to do my best because I think I see it that way. And so what it comes down to in the end is, again, I keep saying this phrase, the maturity of humanity or not, whether you are mature enough to see these things or not. Now, to me, I got this even before this happened to me, but I became homeless in 2018 through circumstances, mum dying, whatever, the house going, all this kind of stuff, and I became homeless, and I went through an amazing year of experiences that I've never regret. But it's like once you get to those positions, people don't value things anymore because everything, I mean, no matter how much people think they're suffering compared to how suffering has been in the past, we ain't suffering. We've got pretty much what we want. You know, some people are, but most people aren't suffering that much. And until you get to that situation where you don't even have running water and then you suddenly get it back again and you appreciate it like never before, it's worth going through it to know how much you can value it once you get it back. And that's what I went through. And because of that, I see the world in a different place. And more people, I think, need to go through that. And dare I say it, if we kind of like go on to what you wanted to talk about, that video you sent me where they were talking about what might be coming. It was Lisa Harrison. And she was talking about what might be coming. And again, it's the same old thing. Something might be happening soon. But some people believe something may be happening before Christmas that might. People need to be shot. You know, you walk out again, you go to your precinct like I do because I live in blooming, you know, suburbia, and I walk into the shopping precinct and I see all these people. And I'm not saying there's not good people there, but most of them haven't got a clue. They're only interested in football, buying stuff, whatever. We need to, unless we throw that off, if humanity doesn't throw that off, we're going to be lost because, again, all these kids are walking around glued to their phones completely and utterly. What's the future going to be? What's it going to be like in 10 or 20 years? If humanity doesn't get this fantastic awakening shake-up, that they're never, ever going to get it. And unfortunately, it might have to get to this. So that's why people like us, Alan, the observers, shall we say, are watching this from a kind of slightly different level, thinking something's got to give here.
Yeah, no, totally. I totally agree on that. Something has to give. There has to be something from outside the planet or celestial or something bigger than humanity to shake humanity, to wake people up and give you a good rattle. Now, I live out in the sticks and I'm accustomed to the power gone down. And a while ago, we had no water for 3 days, right? That's when you really know how things bad are, when you've no power to do anything and you've no water. You can't, you know, so, but lucky enough, I'm a bit of a prepper anyway. And I did a video on Rumble all about the things I learned this time, because we had power down from 6:15 in the morning till 10:30 at night, or 10:15 at night, no power all day. And I learned a few more things about, oh, I'm going to prep, I'm going to buy these things, because the next time the power goes down, I'll be ready for this. So yeah, that's what I did. And the five things that we need in life is, we need water, we need shelter, we need heat, we need food, and we need power. And ideally, we need water, we need shelter, we need clothes, we need heat, and we need food.
Food,
yeah, that's it. So so after that, it's a bonus. So for me, I'm trying to break down, you know, although we have technology and stuff like that, to me, them five things are the things that I kind of focus on. And I think, right, if there was an apocalypse tomorrow, what do I have? Do I have them five things? Can I get them five things? And can I source them five things? And that's basically what I'm kind of focusing on. And I'm only talking like, you know, these people that are like stuck up bags and bags of oats or whatever for like 2 years. You know, you really only need about 2 or 3 weeks, because that's going to be the giveaway after 2 or 3 weeks. You'll know where you're going to be standing. But
Alan, sorry to interrupt, but I'd just like to make a point here before I forget. About the food thing, I'd just like to say, right, now, if something happens, if the shit hits the fan, we don't know what's coming, do we? But I'd just like to make a point in that people that think that if you don't eat every day, you're going to die. And if you don't eat for 3 days, that's it. I'd just like to say, my friend George, he's a great guy who does these fasts all the time. He's just finished a 6-day no drinking or even eating fast. He's not drunk or eaten for 6 days. He's doing great. He feels fantastic. He's broken it today. He feels great. When you do that, your body rejuvenates itself. Your immune system kicks in because it doesn't have to digest food, and it does all these amazing things. So I'd just like to say, if this does come up, we don't know what's coming. So just to reassure people, if you can't eat for a few days, for a week, for maybe even 2 weeks, if you start feeling bad, that's only because your body is detoxing all of the probable crap you've got inside it. So don't panic, right? You're not dying. You're not going to die if you don't eat for 3 days. It's actually good for you to fast. So I'd just like to say that, Alan, sorry, at that point, just to say to people, don't worry.
No, you're correct.
In that respect.
After 3 days, the body starts eating the fat and reserves in your body anyway. And that's
and
where
eating toxins as well, by the way.
Eating toxins as well, and cancers and stuff like that. So, and of course, you have people who are breatharians who don't eat at all and haven't done. I have one or two people on my Facebook page who are breatharians, and I do want to get them on the show and do an interview with them, because it's fascinating. But I do have a documentary all about it. It's subtitled in, it's in German, but it's subtitled English. And
it's a bit boring, but it's good for you.
But it's good to just kind of find out what they're doing and how they do it. And they said, look, you have to be careful. You have to know what to do, because people do it wrong and they die, or something happens, you know. So you have to know what to do and how to do it, you know, and do it sensibly. I mean, coming down the line with what's going on, I don't know. As you said, there was mention on the Lisa Harris thread on the last podcast you did, a couple of podcasts you did a while ago, that, as you said, before Christmas, a few weeks. But, you know, I've heard this all before. That's the thing. You know, so, and I think Phyllis is right there. Always expect the unexpected on the chat, Phyllis.
Yeah, well said.
and well said. And I totally agree, Phyllis. But you can only prep so much. And you just hope that the prep that you've done is enough to kind of get you over whatever happens. Because a lot of people are struggling. But then again, I went down, as I said, shopping today, and I was in Blanchestown the other day, shopping centre. I had to pop down there, and the place was packed.
Yeah, I said this today, Alan. Everyone's spending like crazy, aren't they?
Well, I mean, are they using credit cards or something? I mean, or keeping up with the Joneses? I mean, one thing I never bought into is that I never, ever bought, you know, did the keep up with the Joneses thing. And I'm glad I didn't buy into that. And I actually have a psychology book all about how the animal kingdom do mimicking as well, like we do as humans, you know. It's quite interesting. But they must be using their credit cards and you know, up to debt, you know. I mean, I just don't know.
I suspect, Alan, maybe people are so pissed off with everything that's gone on over the last few years, they're just thinking, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to enjoy it. Excuse my language.
Yeah, well, look, my granny used to always say to me, our debt to our trouble, you know.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So
yeah.
For me, yeah. Getting out of debt and staying out of debt as much as you can.
I've got no debts at all.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've a mortgage and that's it. But everything else, I think, yeah, everything else is kind of covered. And that's kind of scrimping and saving and doing without certain things. You know, like I haven't had a real proper holiday since 2002. Right.
Yeah. Snap. Yeah.
You know, and people say, oh well, and they put it on the credit card and go, oh, I'll worry about it when I get back. And they come back and then the big debt is there for the holiday. And, you
same
know,
same for Christmas, Alan, isn't it? You know, all this credit card, they buy all this crap they don't bloody need that most people don't appreciate anyway when they give them presents. You know, it's not really appreciated. And they spend all this money because they think they have to keep up with the Joneses and show faith and show their wealth and all this crap. And when you watch, I tell you what, Alan, I've been watching some Christmas movies on the Look Movies, it's called, where I can get all these crappy Christmas movies, most of them, but you do get messages. Again, this is this whole thing about don't have a TV. I actually think now that the TV gives you many messages, even the BBC. I've watched some great dramas on the BBC where I get these amazing messages. Once you can go above that, you know, just looking at it from that level, and you see the messages. That's why I truly believe Dolores Cannon was right, and it's all a learning platform. This whole place is here to show us things, but it's whether you look that counts.
It's the art school. I got a phone call from a family member today, and the family member's actually in the Matrix, right? And she said to me, Lidl have a distribution center just outside of Mullingar in an industrial estate. And apparently you can go down there between Friday and Sunday today, and they're selling all the stuff off really, really cheap. You should go down there. And I said, why would I want to do that? You know, I mean, maybe it's a Black Friday thing, right? But
probably.
I said, why? I mean, they're probably getting rid of it because nobody wants the crap anyway. You know, so they had to discount it, and then they're just hoping that people would be gullible enough to go down and buy the stuff, you know? And
why is it called Black Friday, guys? Again, the serious hint in the words here, Black Friday materialism to the extent that it can be. It's not good.
Now, I just want to, this is what I heard through the grapevine. I don't know how true it is, but apparently I was told that manufacturers, especially electronic shops, right, big TV screens, and people are rushing in the door for Black Friday and grabbing the TV screen and go, hey, I got this, and it's 40% discount. Apparently the models they're getting rid of are models that are not the models that are generally advertised. It's all the crappy substandard electronic component models that they get rid of because that's the crap they can't sell, right? So they take out the nice TVs, put them in the storeroom and put all the crap out, and people think, hey, you got a 40-inch screen TV. Yeah, but it's a crap 40-inch.
You know, they, quote unquote, they call us useless eaters. Yeah. Sometimes you can see why, can't you?
Look, you know, again, I just analyse humanity and I look at the psychology, you know, and this is why I understand. It's not that, you know, we're introverted or antisocial. It's just we don't put up with the crap. Mm-hmm. That's it. I'm sorry, but I'm not playing that game that you want me to play, you know. And so you walk away and you just, you know, sometimes it's good being comfortable in your own company.
I thought it was very interesting what Yvonne said just before in that interview about being an elder. And I had to laugh when she said that because I'm an elder now and I just feel it in a way. Not that I feel old, but just that I feel I've been here for too long. And she said it's about the definition of an elder. When you think of what the elder used to mean in the indigenous tribes, and it was something, you know, to be aspired to, the elders were the ones with all the wisdom and this current reality we live in tries to do the opposite and tries to persuade you that the elders are not that. Sadly, because most of them have got blooming Alzheimer's, because which has been brought on by all the crap. But, you know, the elders used to be the people that have lived a bit and got a bit more, and they share that knowledge with the younger people, and now they're just scoffed, aren't they? Sad.
Yeah, totally. And that's the way it should be. I mean, I know there's some indigenous tribes where the young couple who have a baby pass the baby over to the elders, and the elders bring the baby up, and the young people go off and have their life and do the things they need to do. And then the cycle starts again, because the younger people come back and they become elders. And then so the cycle, because they're thinking, why would you trust the baby to a couple of people, couple who are, don't actually know anything about life? So
and
they
still give, kids themselves.
Yeah, still, exactly. So they give the baby to the elders who have life experience behind them, and the elders bring up the baby.
Well, the only good thing about that, Alan, is because most people have got no money now, and they're being charged so much to live anywhere, that a lot of people are going back to live with their parents and giving their kids to their elders anyway. So
maybe there's a method in the madness there, where the actual kids, yeah, where the kids and the young people are going to be learning from the parents. But then again, you know, there is a level of, you know, if the parents were kind of dragged up, and they're probably going to drag up the kids as well, chances are that might be the thing. I've seen that. I have seen that, where you think, you ask yourself, I was in court one time observing, not in court because I was in court. I was in court observing, and this young chap was brought in for, he'd drive up the motorway. This was the idea, to drive up the motorway and rob a house and then drive back down the motorway. And the judge said, he said to the young lad, what does your father think about what you've just done about robbing the house? It turned out his father was up next, because he was with him robbing the house.
And the biggest laugh is, we know what a lot of these judges are flipping doing behind the scenes anyway, yeah. So, you know.
Exactly. So imagine, okay, son, well done. You robbed the house, you didn't get caught. Well done. This is what, you know, this is what's happening, you know.
And these are the messages you get, Alan, when you start watching some of these dramas. Like, again, we're all told, get rid of your TV, never watch the BBC. I've been watching the BBC, and I've been watching a lot of their dramas. And these messages that we get, seriously, they are key. So it's almost like a play is being, it's all a stage. It's whether you choose to watch from the right point of view and see the lessons that you're being told. If you don't, then you're just going to carry on in the same old vein and carry on and on and on in these never-ending circles. But once you start to see these messages coming at you from everywhere, and I tell you one, I don't know if you've noticed this in your area, but I said this on my show last night, I've noticed where I am now, in which is suburbia, totally, you know, it's all flipping shopping precinct, etc. They are really, really pushing now, big time, the Grinch for Christmas. The Grinch is everywhere now. I've not even watched that movie, but the Grinch, the Christmas Grinch, and that, so I started looking into it, and it's very much the story of, like, it's almost like the whole Scrooge thing with regards to this Grinch lives in a place where all these people are just enjoying themselves and feeling love, and he doesn't feel it, and he's trying to sabotage everybody's Christmases. And the reason he's doing it is because he was brought up as an orphan in an orphanage, and he didn't get any love. And that just, to me, as soon as I heard that, it equated me to the so-called ruling class, because we know that a lot of these people send the kids out to boarding school and they go through hell almost deliberately to kind of make them into a certain, you know, person that's going to be not loving and not, it's a sociopath and all of that kind of stuff. And I just thought, why are they pushing the Grinch at us now? But at the end of the Grinch story, he comes back to reality, he gets accepted by a family, he feels love, and he changes his mind. So why are we getting that pushed at us now? Is this another message?
I don't know, but I don't need a Grinch because I have a mother-in-law. So only joking. No, not really. Only joking.
But yeah, you get the point, though. Why,
I do.
When I see things being pushed at us through mainstream, I think there's a reason for this. And this is why I think it's more of a learning platform than a totally evil thing.
Yeah, no, I do get it. I do get it. And the thing is, going, just, you know, touching base on how things are in the world and stuff like that, and Ireland in particular, with what's gone on and the issue that we had last week with the rioting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I really don't know what the solution is for that. Even in the UK, right, with the government the way it is, you know, Tweedledum and Tweedledee, and we have the same over here. In most countries, it's the same, Tweedledum, Tweedledee. And it doesn't matter who you vote, you know, as you say, the circus might change, but it's the same clowns, you know.
Yeah.
But And I don't know what the solution is to where we go with Ireland. Maybe we are, I mean, this is the Earth School, you know, and we are learning on the Earth School. Is this a quantum program that we're in that's a pre-programmed? So our lives are pre-programmed as part of this quantum program. And that, you know, we have this illusion of free will, but basically what it is these choices have already been made. So all we're doing is we're selecting a choice. Excuse me. Out of the choices that we have, like in computer programming.
Yeah.
Do you A, do you B, do you C? So it's not technically free will. It's just that we have a number of choices and then we can pick whichever choice we want. So I don't know. I mean, well, I've talked to guests before about this kind of computer program we're supposed to be in. And, apparently the matrix is collapsing and people are seeing more and more things go on and things are happening. And so I try and listen to a cross section of people, and you have some people saying that, you know, we're going to have the soul of Lash, 2025. That's what's going to happen. And then other people go, no, there's not going to be any soul of Lash. It's all a personal thing. So you don't know who to believe, and where they're getting their information from and where it's coming from and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. I mean, the answer's on the postcard. I'm just like everybody else, just trying to do the research and trying to apply what I know and listen to what other people are saying and then kind of saying, well, that's plausible, but until we see it, until something happens, then I'll just put it on the shelf.
I like to follow the numbers a lot, Alan, and it's interesting, I think, that we're now next year. So this year's been, if you add up the digits for this year, which is 2023, comes to 7. Next year's going to be 8, which a lot of people think is a really significant number. Now, the whole 7 thing went back to the whole Trump Q thing, whatever you think of that again. I was having a discussion with someone about this earlier who said that they know someone absolutely hates Trump, etc. Now, my view on this has changed. So when this whole pandemic started playing out in 2020 and a lot of us got what was going on, we tried to grasp onto something real that we could see as being a bit of faith and hope for the future. And because of what Trump, the guy that's known as Trump, was saying at that time, a lot of us grasped onto that. And I did big time. I was watching all the rallies and everything. Now, I don't watch them anymore much. I'm not saying, I still think Trump, whatever Trump is, that illusion of Trump is a massive catalyst, because what he says is true. The things he's bringing out is true about the world and how it's been, this reality and how it's been. It's not about him, the guy. I probably would hate him if I met him, because apparently he's a really big narcissist. He's never struggled, has he? He's always lived a privileged life. So it's not about him. But if these are pawns or, you know, players in this game on this stage, he's been there to show people something. And I'll say this, he has shown people a lot, a big time. But the words that came through his mouth, wherever they came from, that has shown people a lot. So there was that fight between, yeah, I hate the guy, but he seems to be making sense. So now I don't listen to the rallies as much and don't follow him as a person as much, but I see what that's done. And I know that's changed a lot of people and made them think a different way. So I think we have to get to a stage now where we realize that most people, well, a lot of people still aren't getting it, you know, they're still not seeing it, especially people in the kind of world I live in here. They're just going about their everyday life trying to survive and buying things that make them feel better. And so I don't know how we're going to get past that, really, but I think there's some of us that see beyond that and some of us that see it in a different way. We're not elitist, we're not thinking we're great, but we're just seeing it differently. And we think from the where we're seeing it, we can help people, you know, per se, we can help people by what we think we know, and it's about whether we are going to be allowed to do that. I don't know what you think.
Well, to be honest with you, my sources tell me that Trump died a couple of years ago.
I've heard that too, yeah.
Right, and that he is obviously, they have a stand-in for him, and that they're going to announce either before Christmas, or maybe they'll just go over to Christmas and they'll announce that he actually passed away and he's dead. Because the family were milking the kind of the stadium gigs that he was doing, you know, people turning up, and they were making loads of money from that. So, you know, the whole Paul McCartney thing, that he died in 1966 in a car crash, and they got a stand in because they knew they were making loads of money with the Beatles. You know, there's an argument there, right? But my sources are saying that he actually died from prostate cancer, I think he died.
Yeah.
And you know, I was talking to my partner about this the other day, and I said, there are stars. I'm sure there are stars out there. that take themselves out of the system. I mean, Joan Rivers was the classic one, where she apparently died supposedly on an operating theatre table. And then, you know, a couple of years later or whatever, she was seen coming out of a restaurant with some guy with different hairstyle and everything else. Just, you know, these people step away from the limelight. They want an excuse to step away. So they say, well, okay, I'm just going to fake my own death and then that'll be it. You know, and I'm out of the system. I paid my dues and that's it.
Take this another stage, Alan. It's based on stuff that Trump's associated with regards to time travel. What about all these things that we see pictures of people, so-called famous actors from like, you know, centuries ago, when they're apparently there's people that look exactly like them and they were alive then and they look totally like these people. And we see, I don't know if you've seen any of these, but I have a few of them. And there's basically a lot of the actors that we see now. And some people think these actors are what are now deemed as the gods, you know, what were the gods in Egyptian times. So-called Hollywood has taken over that. And you see these people from like centuries before and they're still alive. And it's almost like they can jump into another body.
Yeah, I've seen them, and
Nicolas Cage was one of them. There's one of Nicolas Cage from like centuries ago.
Yeah, that's it. And I've interviewed Andrew Passago, who apparently went to these jump rooms, and he was a child, and his father was in the military. And there's a picture of him at the Gettysburg Address as a child in the photo. Yeah. Andrew said, "Yeah, that was me." He said, "I was there," and he explained the what happened and why he was wearing big shoes that were a bit big for him and stuff like that. You know. So it was a very interesting interview. It's on the old OIM YouTube channel if people want to see that. But I'm just watching the time there, Lisa, and I just want to have a quick chat. Now, Christmas time, obviously New Year's is the last show for me. The annual review is the 31st of December. And, you know, I normally do 7 to 9, but I said earlier on that I might do 10 to 12 because they're covering the New Year's. And I know that you were planning to do your show as well. So we'll have a chat. We'll have a chat off air and we'll try and come up with some kind of plan where we can both transmit at the same time.
Absolutely. And well, if not that though, we can do it kind of together, but you do it at one point, then we kind of like, you know, give over to the person, then we come back. I'd like to do, I always do the big 12 o'clock thing with all the you know, the chimes and everything and the hour after that, but we could do it like I could do 2 hours before, you do your 10 till 12, then we go over to me for like the midnight thing and then I'll carry on for an hour. Type thing.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Well, we'll sort something out. We'll talk about it. But
we should do it.
No, we'll definitely do it. I don't have anything planned for New Year's Eve. You know, I'm normally in bed before 12 o'clock anyway, you know. And there was an app that I had on my phone a couple of years ago where people would text you to say, oh, Happy New Year. And you think, oh, I'm in bed asleep. So what I did is I set up the app that would, once a text message came in, it would automatically send a message back going, Happy New Year. But I didn't hear any of the text messages coming in. So, and that just kind of, you know, so instead of me not replying back saying Happy New Year at 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever, the app did it for me and it, you know, it kept it sweet. So I don't know whether that will happen again or whether I'll be able to do that again, but we'll see.
The only reason I want to do this, Alan, by the way, is not because I want to go with the modern bloody mainstream way of doing these things so that means nothing and all these fireworks get let off and all of that. It's not that. I want to do something for us lot that get it, and that's why I do it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, I know there's going to be people doing nothing on New Year's Eve, right? Like me. I won't be doing anything.
Because they're pissed off, probably,
let's
do something for us, you know, between us.
You know, you could go down the pub and you could get loads of drink and all that kind of stuff, you know, but, I might get like a beer in and I might have a beer here and have a beer with just here while I'm doing the show. And if everybody else is having a beer or having a drink or whatever, then we can do that. And we'll have a little on-air party for people who aren't celebrating or going out, you know. So we'll have a bit of a laugh. And then if they want to, the Skype will be there. So if they fancy ringing in, I can send them out the Skype address and we can bring them in as a member and say hello. Get them to say hello if they want to call in. Because I don't have any phone line anymore, that's gone. I know, just I'm a Bluebell said there, I hate New Year's. I know.
I've just seen that. I was just going to say something about that with regards to, right, okay, so that to me speaks, there's an issue there, because so to say I hate New Year's, it's about whether you hate the system or whether you hate what it can really mean. If you know what it can really mean with like-minded people that get it, and we're welcoming a new year with the chance to change things. And so you have to think of it in a different way. Don't think of it in the bloody mainstream shitty way where it's all that crap. Think of it in our way, and that's what I'm trying to say, Alan. Me and you should make it something different this year.
Yeah, we'll have a talk about that, and we'll go through it. Right, so okay. I'm watching the time. You just hang on there, Lisa, but before I finish up for myself, give out your web address and your website and your show address and all that stuff.
Okay, well, I don't really need to do that, but it's www.thecryfreedomshowwithlisa.com. I'm only doing one show a month like you, Alan. I'll be doing some at Christmas. I posted that. It's Rumble, Lisa GSD on Rumble, and that's where it's at now, I think. We both learned that, haven't we? We've got to, you know, get it all going on Rumble now.
Yeah, we're doing Rumble, and me and Lisa, if you haven't seen it, me and Lisa are doing news update videos on Rumble, and we're on camera, and you can see us. So, if you want to go over there, you'll be able to find it. Okay, Lisa, just stay with me there for a minute. I'll just finish up and we'll have a chat after. So, folks, just to let you know that, as I say, I'm having a clear out. The studio over the Christmas period, I'm going to, fingers crossed, Lisa, if I get everything back up and running for the New Year's, I'm assuming that it's going to be all, when I shut everything down and I unplug everything, and I break it down, I might be calling on you to do some testing before the New Year's, because
no problem.
But I am doing a very, very cut down version of the studio, so fingers crossed it's going to work. Otherwise, I might be just Skyping in with you and doing your show. I might come to that, you know. But so that's the plan. So fingers crossed, if that's the plan, I'm going to be working on that. So we'll see how we get on. But thanks to everybody who logged in the chat room and listened to the show. It's much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope that you enjoyed me and Lisa and the interview from Yvonne. And thanks for tuning in and taking the time to give me 2 hours of your time on Sunday. It's much appreciated. So the next show, as I say, New Year's. So make sure you have your party hat and your balloons and your drink and what have you, and we'll make a little bit of a party, and we'll have the chat room up and running and everything else. So for myself, for Alan James, and from Lisa, take it easy, guys. Have a good few weeks, get prepped for Christmas, and don't stress the hard stuff. Take it easy, you know, and love each other, respect each other, and look forward to hopefully positive changes that are going to be coming in and taking place. But before I let you go. Have a good Christmas. Anyway, just in case you're not on the New Year's, have a great Christmas. Take it easy, and we'll talk to you on the far side. Take care, and bye-bye.
You have been listening to Circle of White Light Radio, focusing on solutions and thinking different.